When my children learned it at Tepenu, back in the day when the school existed, Rav Chayasar Freifeld School, Lea Shalom, so they typed into modern Hebrew and then into English. So they learned, Lech Lecha, Lech La'atzmecha, go to yourself. So that's how they typed it. It's based on Rav Hirsch. But it is about how we're here in a journey. But Vayera is where we're still under the influence of Vayera, because you can have the parsha go like this with Shabbos in the middle. So we're still under the umbrella of Vayera. And that's where I want to talk about the difference between Noach and Abraham. So Noach, God on the table, all by himself. Primary child, me. The world's about me, right? One person, one world. I'll take care of myself. But that's not the Jewish way. That's not what Abraham did, right? Abraham, after he's brisked, now he's finally in the covenant with Hashem. And the first thing he does is tries to recover, right? But he's chalishing for guests. What is up with that? Sitting there, kechom hayom. Kechom hayom, not bechom hayom. Kechom hayom, right? So we learn the bechay, you can switch them, right? So it's like he's there in the heat of the day. Hashem did a nace, right? He doesn't want him to have guests. That the children of Abraham, Yishmaelim, and the Jews were big into guests, right? So he doesn't want him to have the tircha of guests, so he does a nace, because he's sick, right? Now Hashem could choose whatever nace he wants to do. He could choose the nace of, let me make him feel better after the bris. That's not what he chooses to do. He says, you know what, feeling bad after the bris, that's part of it. There's hard parts in Yiddishkeit, learn to live with it, right? Get over it, and you're going to have to deal with the hard part. But I am going to make it so you don't have extra hard guests. But Abraham is kechom hayom, he's bo'er kechom hayom. He's burning up inside, I have to have guests, I have to. He's talking to Hashem, and in the middle of talking to Hashem, he finally sees Hashem does another tova for him, sends guests. And he's so thankful, he's finally guests. Hashem, I put you on pause, I'm going to go speak to the guests. What? We've all learned, gedola hachnasat orchim milekabel pnei shechina. It's better to have guests than talking to Hashem. Does that make sense? If the whole point of all the mitzvahs is to create a relationship with Hashem, and you're in your relationship, you're not striving towards your relationship, this is not Hikvodadu trying to connect. He's connected. He's on the phone. He's having the conversation, and he says, hang on a second, I have to go do a mitzvah. Does that make any sense at all? It doesn't. So the question is, what is going on here? So I learned some of these ideas from different mefarshim that I heard from Rabbi Shalom Rosner on OU.org, like very much. Anyway, so he brings Ma'inashel Torah, which is fabulous. And it says, so what is he doing exactly? What's gedola? What's bigger here than talking to Hashem? Is lachnis orchim. It's not chesed. It's lachnis orchim. Lachnis otam la'efo. Where should he bring them in? Into his tent? No, to bring them under the wings of the Shekhinah. Better that you should, rather than strive in your own relationship to connect with Hashem, get somebody else to get connected. That's Abraham. More important than your own relationship, more important than your own godless, more important than your own shleimut, is getting somebody else connected. And that's the difference between Abraham and Noach. Noach said, it's about me. I'll go on the table. I'll bring my family. I'll close the door. I'm not telling the rest of the world. But Abraham said, no, I'm right after bris. I'm burning up like the chom hayom. I am kechom hayom. I have so much passion and so much fire. It doesn't matter how I feel. I have to reach out. I have to get other people involved in this. I have to bring them into a relationship with Hashem. It's not just me and Hashem. It's the whole world, and I'm here for the whole world. And I have to reach out. And Rav Hirsch says, who did he reach out to? There were no other B'nai B'rit. They were Gentiles, right? So the first act, and we Jews are all about firsts, right? We look for the first word. How is it used first? The first time that letter's there, what does that letter mean? The first thing that the first Jew does is reach out. And that's who we are. We are the B'nai Abraham and Sarah. And we're outreachers. We reach out and we say, come, let me show you what that's like. Let me bring you into a relationship with Hashem. Let me teach you about it. And I'm going to sacrifice myself for it. It says in Ma'inashel Torah, he krived et shlemuto, that he gave up, he sacrificed his growth, which many of us are concerned about. Our husbands, are they sacrificing their growth, their Torah? Yes, they are. They are. Definitely costs your own peace in home and your own learning and your own growth and your own kavana and tefillah, it costs. It's not free. But we're doing gedola. Gedola hachnasat orchem. Gedola, it's better to bring in, bigger, to bring other people into this relationship than to necessarily, of course we have to grow. But more important is to reach out and bring other people into it. So I'm thrilled that everybody's here, and everybody hopefully will get the chizuk that they need to reach out and bring other people into the tent with them. We should be all bo'orot kachom hayom, strengthened and strong, and get strength here, share with each other, and grow so that we can bring other people into the bris with us.
Hi everybody, it's so great to see everybody. I said to somebody, when people start walking through, I feel like we should just give out like a big hug to everybody. So I'm so happy to see everybody here. And you know, we've been working on it for months, and now it's finally here, it's finally happening. Okay, so I wanted to share with you an idea that I personally find really helpful for myself, and I think for anybody who's doing Kiruv, it's an important concept, and that's the power of one. Okay, and the power of one person, and what one dedicated and what determined Makarvis can do. Ravolbi says, I'm always quoting Ravolbi, I think that he's like my husband's Rebbe, and we in Ali Shore, and he talks about this a lot, about being an individual and the importance of each person. And he says that Hashem created Adam singularly. Yachid, this is a piece, by the way, in Ali Shor, Chalek Beis. It's on Rosh Hashanah, actually, but I'm going to be following it through because I think the message is so important for all of us. So he said that Adam was created singularly, Yachidi, to tell us. Lisa said this already, by the way, Rav Hirsch also has a beautiful quote about this also, but to tell us that each of us is special and unique, with a unique set of characteristics, right, and life circumstances, and from the beginning of time until the end of the generations, there is nobody who is exactly like you, that has your tafkid, your characteristics, everything that's unique and special about you. And that's, you know, very nice and inspirational, but it's also, it's an achrayus, it's a responsibility, okay? It's not just about, it means that Hashem has big expectations for us. He wants us to dream big, he wants us to think big, and know about what we can do in the power of us. I wanted to bring a few examples of people like that. I'm going to be doing this along the way in this piece, but I just wanted to say that I was with my family this Shabbos, and my sister-in-law's a relative of Recha Sternbach. Okay, for people who don't know, Recha Sternbach was one woman living in Switzerland during the time of the war who took it upon herself. She saw what was happening all around her, and she took it upon herself to save Jews. She single-handedly, on her own, saved thousands and thousands of people. Okay, one woman, Sarah Schneer, right? One woman who had a dream, who said, I want to see every girl have a Jewish education. And she was the start of the Beis Yaakov movement. Okay, so we have to also be able to think big and recognize we have a tafkid. He also said, and this is, he goes on, and he says, he speaks about Avram Avinu. And he says that Avram Avinu was one person going against the tide. He was the only person. We always say this in Erel Aleph, you know. Avram and Sarah were the original Kiruv couple. Their conditions were much worse than anybody else's. Okay, whatever conditions you're in, it was much worse for them, okay? But the main point is to know that he was, again, one person teaching about one God, that Hashem is one, which at that time was, you know, a concept that was unheard of, okay? And he was fighting against the stream, okay? And when we think about Kiruv, and two people that I want to mention, even though they're not women, that I just think are really important to bring up here is Mr. Zeph Wolfson, who is one of our main donors. And for those of you who aren't aware, you know, we're at the Olami conference, and we're in America, and there's a lot happening here. Oh, so nice to see you. Okay. So there's a lot going on in America. It's one of our biggest areas, but this isn't just an American organization. It is worldwide. And since I've been working in Nerlof, which is 14 years ago, I've seen the face of the map changing. And I worked directly with Mr. Zev Wolfson, Alav HaShalom, and I can tell you that he would go in and he would say, and this really happened, like, go to Russia, you know, start this project. You know, we were told to sit and talk to these people about the project, and the people basically, these were the big experts, and, you know, they're supposed to be giving me advice about how we're starting the project, and they basically look at me and they go, impossible, not doable, it's never going to happen, okay? It's like, thank you, that was so helpful, really encouraging, okay? Anyway, it really happened. We have a 16 cities project. We've taken over, we've gotten back most of the shuls and properties in Russia. We've, you know, just really, I have to say that the organization has been able to really change the face of what Russian Jewry looks like. I can give you lots of examples about this all over the world, and this was all, again, just one person who said, there's no such word as impossible. We're going to do it, and we're going to go with it, and it's unbelievable. Whether you talk about Paris, whether you talk about South America, South Africa, what Zev Wolfson did was just unbelievable, and even now our Olami organization, it's just, years ago, I don't think anyone could have pictured this idea of just so many people going to campus and working on campus and working in communities. If you would have told people this, say, even 15 years ago, people would have said, impossible, it's never going to work. And it's working, and it's happening, and you're making it happen. And the other person I have to mention is Rabbi Schuster, okay, who, you know, years ago, and I still remember this myself, you know, you'd go to Yerushalayim and students would come trekking through and they would stay in the YMCA and they would stay in these hostels on the floor. And then Rabbi Schuster decided that he's going to create, oh, this is so much fun. Like, it's very unprofessional and we're taping, but it's just so exciting. It's hard, you know. Anyway, but so I just have to get my train of thought back. Sorry about that. Rabbi Schuster, yes. I remember when Rabbi Schuster started the Heritage House, okay, and again, people thought it was this crazy idea in the old city. He had a hard time finding a couple to live there and start it. It started out small, and again, it grew, and everybody knows Rabbi Schuster's a legend, you know. I have to tell you this, when I went to the Shiva at Rabbi Schuster's, his wife was taking out pictures of all the different, you know, along the way, people who were makarv by him sent them their families. I said, I wish I could take this and show it to every Makarev and Makareves who's working there and is, you know, like standing at the, you know, standing out there, you know, on the campus or in their communities, one person at a time, pulling people in. When you can see those results, those families and generations that were created. And we need to be able to focus on that and remember that. Okay, and last but not least, Revolva brings down Yaakov. Yaakov had to fight the Tsar of Esav Levado, by himself, alone. And that represents the struggles that all of us have, our own unique individual struggles that we all struggle with every day. We're always fighting that Tsar of Esav on a national level, but also on our own personal level with all of our struggles. And the person that I want to bring as an example for that, who was for me a role model from the time I actually met Miriam Lowenbrown when I was 11 years old in NCSY, one of my first national conferences, right? And, you know, the Lowenbrowns were a couple. Miriam always came together with her husband. She was always there supporting his efforts. She on her own developed herself, raised the family, was a social worker. She was always there for anybody who called her. She came to all our conferences. She started the Age Up Women's Track, which was actually the forerunner of WIC in all of our conferences. And she was, I just can say personally, she was always available. She made herself available for the women from Ner La'elef and anybody who was out in the field. She brought Rebbetzin Twersky to every conference and, you know, and helped Rebbetzin Twersky be available for all the makarvot. And, you know, I'm sure when they do Age Up, they're going to make a tribute to her, but I couldn't not mention and, like, kind of give her a thanks and a special mention here. And just for all of us, that all these people could be our role models, but also we ourselves, just everybody take a minute, look around the room, look at everybody who's here. A lot of us know each other. Some of us have been around for years. We've been already at a few different conferences. Some people were in there, some people have just come through afterwards. Okay, this whole room is full of amazing individuals who are doing great work. Every single one of you. None of you are alone. You're all here. And I'm hoping that from this conference, everybody's going to benefit and bring home, you know, new ideas, new connections, okay? People have told me that they're going to be available. Everybody look around the room also and see there's some of us, some people here are young and new in the field. Some people have been here longer. We can all contribute to each other and keep the connections even afterwards. But one of the things that I'm really hoping that everybody takes away with this is the recognition that every person here is unique and special, and that each one of us is really affecting ourselves, our families, our communities, and really the world. And even though a lot of times it seems like we're just working levado all alone, right? We're really a part of this big club and this big organization, Olami, worldwide, okay? But the most important thing is think big, because we have the power to change the world. One person at a time, one city at a time, one community at a time. Keep going. Yashikawa.